on February 21st. Meeting is called to order. And we'll do roll call. Suzie Mitchell, board president.
Jen Scott, board vice president.
Chris Benjamin, board member. Oh, sorry. Alan Stafford, director.
Gina Derrickson, community relations person.
Lauren Wisely, board member.
Chris Moody, board member.
Debbie Fees, board member.
Denise Westbrook, board member.
Okay. I guess.
Joe Shell, board member.
Joe Shell by phone, right? Board member. Hi, Joe. And introduce our guests.
Steve Oscar, school safety coordinator.
Brian Dayton, parent.
American.
So first order of business is approval of the board minutes from last month. Everybody had a chance to review them?
Mm-hmm. I have some corrections.
Okay.
Well, it's an issue really of corrections / clarification. Particularly under the foundation, the paragraph about the foundation is, I think that although the numbers are correct, I think they're misleading. First of all, there's an addition. Says the foundation also granted $1,000 to the mock trial team, number one. The next thing is where it says that they gave $10,000 towards the summer college trip to help students whose families do not have the means to pay. They actually gave $10,000 for the college trip and an additional $4,000 for scholarships for kids who couldn't afford to pay. And then they're also providing two $1,500 scholarships for seniors.
$15,000 or $100? I don't remember.
$100. Although, 50,
sorry.
Maybe if we put $1,000, Joe will agree to that.
Mm.
And then I had a question about that paragraph as well, because it says the foundation board voted to repay $2 million of the outstanding loan, which according to the numbers in that paragraph would leave the board with only $200,000. But I thought there was more money coming in, Joe, from a grant or something?
Not from a grant, from a pledge payment.
Pledge payment.
I don't know, I'll call and report when it's time for the foundation report on the correct amount.
Okay.
And the $4,000, Jen, on the scholarship funds, it's up to $4,000. We hope the parents will pay for half of the trip cost, and we'll pay half.
Okay.
So we want to encourage the parents to have some skin in the game.
Yep.
We're not saying we're going to give away $4,000 to whoever wants it. It has to be somebody that Debbie Fees feels wouldn't go without it.
Okay.
Got it?
So as of the last board meeting, the foundation was going to have about $200,000 left in their account?
Other things came in. That's correct.
All right. So other than that, as of today, I didn't have any other changes besides that.
All right. And I had a question, but I think Jen clarified it for me under
curriculum instruction about Trish hiring someone.
Under director's report, curriculum instruction,
mm-hmm.
about hiring someone to review our math data. Not that I'm at all opposed to that. I think it's a great idea, I just don't remember it. But Jen said she did, so. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. So I make a motion that we approve the minutes from the January 17th meeting with the additions mentioned by Jen.
Second
by Jen
Scott. Denise.
And Denise Westbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any discussion? Okay, sorry, that was out of order. Motion carries, sorry. All right.
Hi, Trish.
Hey. I'm gonna announce that you're here.
And Trish
Allen. The queen has arrived.
I don't even think I was late.
All right, we started with
that. Oh, that's good, because I was, I
was having a conference with a first teacher. I totally lost track of the time.
You forgot us. It's all right.
I did forget you.
You're here just in time.
You're here just in time for the director's report.
All right, you've got a new agenda, right?
It was over there, so I guess it's.
All right, first thing is, Mr. Oscar, how about if we put you first so you can talk about security?
Okay.
Okay, so we're all keenly aware of, certainly a national tragedy that's occurred relative to school safety and what have you. And I had, I think board members and parents know the kinds of things we do to try to make schools secure. And Mr. Oscar is in charge of doing that kind of work. And so ask him if he'd come today to outline what we're doing.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me. In your packets, there should be a listing of the drills that we have done over the last 2 years. This is generated by the ERIP system, which is the Emergency Response Information Portal, and that's a government site where we have, you know, it's limited access to. You can go onto that site, you log in your school safety plans, your map of the building, floor plans, etc. And it's a pretty extensive site, and what it does is it gives emergency responders, if they had to come to the school, they can go right to that site, pull it up, and know where AEDs are in the building, know where the floor plan is, etc. And so it's a very interactive site between the emergency response teams in the community and the school. And so on that, we're required to have a certain number of drills every year, and we've complied with that. And we understand that we comply with that because we get a certificate each year. And I have from this year, but actually last year, 16-17, it's from the state of Delaware. It also comes with a sticker. And we have one of the stickers on the front door to show that we are compliant with the national, with the Department of Homeland Security, and that we're compliant and we met their standards as far as being a safe school. With that being said, we have been working closer and closer over the last 2 years with the Georgetown Police Department and with Detective Joey Melvin, who's an expert in intruder and school shooter activity, and he trains throughout the region, the tri-state area, multi-state area, on the East Coast primarily. And he came to our school. He met with me several times through the spring, and I showed him our safety plans, and we walked the building, and we identified some concerns, and we went back to the safety committee, and we kind of adapted our plan a little bit. He then came in and did it in service for us at the end of November, prior to our December drills that we had. And we had those drills that we know we kind of were trying to be a little secretive, so we're gonna do it this particular week. We had the drills and they actually went very well. And there were 4 Georgetown police officers that came and helped with those drills. They walked the building, they checked doors, they looked in, and we used a sticky notes. We used red, green, and yellow. Green was if they looked in, everything was fine. They couldn't see any students, they couldn't hear any noise, the door was locked. There was some kind of a barricade in the doorway. And that's one thing that we really impressed upon in our training, was to make sure that if you have to hide, that you're barricading that door and you're making it as hard as possible for anyone to come through that door. And unfortunately, I don't know if they didn't have time last week in Florida, but some of those rooms were not barricaded. And so the shooter was able to shoot out the windows, reach the gun in, and start shooting and hit some people inside those classrooms. If we have the time, we can defend against that, because we're going to be piling everything we can up in front of those doors, and if they shoot out windows, he's going to be having bullets coming back at him, because it's going to be hitting desks and other kinds of metal and coming right back at him. So we have plans like that. We also have some other things that are kind of unique to the area, unique to us, that we have in the classroom, which I don't necessarily want to mention in a forum like this, for our own safety and security. But also with that, when we had those police officers come through the school, they put green, everything was okay, yellow, there was some kind of minor infraction. Maybe there was a little bit of noise, they could maybe see a foot from a child in the classroom, etc. And then if there was some sort of major infraction, like the door wasn't locked, and that did happen, there were some classrooms they thought they had their doors locked and they didn't. They walked in, looked in, and saw all the students kind of huddled. And so they slapped red on there. So we were able to identify those areas and were able to further update our plans.
I'm going to just interrupt you one sec. The reason that you don't want to say it here is because by divulging that, you're putting our security strategies at risk because it's being recorded and potentially the public can hear.
Correct, exactly.
Right, I just wanted to make that clear for the recording.
Right, and thank you for clearing that, Ms. Scott. And also, we've identified some areas of concern within this building. This is a large building. We have lots of areas that we need to kind of look at. And again, that would be something I'm not going to say mm-hmm. here publicly, but if the board would so be inclined to develop a committee or a meeting, I'd love to be able to sit down at that time and discuss some of those issues and see what resolutions we can come.
You mentioned, Steve, a safety committee.
I got a solution that I'm going to offer to the board in a while on how that could go. But I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think we've got a perfect place for that to go. That would be a board group.
You mentioned a safety committee, Steve. Who comprises that?
We have teachers from every team on here, so we have each of the middle school grades and some high school teachers. Some of the other administration is on it, so there's probably about 15
school people. Nurse.
School nurses on it. On the website where you look on the Sussex County Administrative Manual, it's laid out there.
Okay.
On who's what, and what the responsibilities are, and what the role is. I didn't print that, bring that today, but yeah, we had pretty much defined roles.
Okay.
He's actually assigned roles and responsibilities to everyone on staff, so it's real clear, and we have plans in place if there's a substitute in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing that Steve did last year, and with the help of one of our substitutes, mentioned that about the emergency. Don't let me take your fire, steal your fire.
No.
Let your light glow here. tell me about the room and what you've got. You just said it, but let him explain it more.
I didn't think you wanted to go into it in detail.
Yeah, I don't want to go into it in detail.
I'm talking about what's on the wall, where the staff can get the stuff quickly.
Oh, right. Every classroom has an emergency folder, and in there it has some of the major drills that we may have immediate issue with, where they can go and grab the cart out and have immediate information on how we're handling that drill, what the announcements may mean, et cetera. As Mr. Shepard was saying, every staff member has a role in a school-wide emergency. When we evacuated the building back in December, after we did our intruder drill, we then had an all-school, off-site evacuation for the middle school, and we took them to off-site locations, and every staff member has exact specific roles and what their duties are and what they're supposed to be doing, where they're supposed to be. And so we're trying to refine it constantly. We're still learning new things. We learned new things after this past incident in Florida, where we're going to make a slight change to our fire drill procedures based on that, because the gentleman pulled the fire alarm to get people out in the hallways. Mm-hmm. We'd already implemented a system where teachers are supposed to then look out in the hallway first before they send students out, and now we've even updated that further. And again, I would love to share that with a smaller group. Private.
One of the things I'd like to maybe suggest to the board, and that we have a building and grounds committee, okay, who are responsible for building and grounds. I guess I'm thinking that a place to have this conversation and to bring in, whether it's people from the safety committee or whatever, not that you got to bring in all 15, but that maybe that conversation ought to be held there, and if there are changes that need to be made physically, or Alan was talking, and again, I don't want to put this out on the table, but he had an idea today that could probably be done relatively inexpensively that might offer a different iteration on what we're doing. So what I'm proposing is that it go to the building and grounds. Is Mr. Manlip's chairperson of that?
Yes.
Okay. That committee is, Lance is the chair, Joe and Chris are on it, Benjamin.
So that maybe, I'm not trying to run their committee, but I am suggesting that's an appropriate place for this, because if it involves physical changes, okay, to anything, that would be the group that would say, oh, well, you can do this, but have you thought about that? And that you know, Steve would be on it, and Alan would be on it, maybe a couple of the teachers that are on the safety committee. I'm not trying to create this committee.
Well, I think it's an appropriate place. We already have a committee. Why create a new one?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
We already have a committee.
That's what I'm saying.
I do think it's very important. Everything sounds amazing, what you've said, and I love that you're, obviously, that we're constantly reevaluating. And I think it's very important that this becomes a more active conversation at this table. You know, so it would be great if, like you said, if that safety committee would become part of the Building and Grounds monthly board report.
I'm not going to design your jobs. That's
Isn't here to answer, but I can follow up with Lance.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
logical.
I think it's important.
Logical.
There's a lot of concern and there's a lot of emotion around it. So I think the more information we can get and get out, the better.
Is there anything else?
Well, obviously, I think it's important that we obviously look at the physical plant, physical structure, looking at that. But I think maybe also the conversation needs to go towards, you know, prevention obviously is the best situation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at a situation like the Florida shooter, it was the mental side of his state of being that is probably more of a threat, really, to us than any physical problem that we may have. And you know, it's great being, and probably speaking more of a parent now than a teacher or a school safety person, but, you know, it's great that we have such a high standard academic school, but along with that comes a lot of emotional duress and stress for the students. And that's where, if we are going to ever have an incident like that here, it's probably going to come from that going unnoticed, that being untreated, that being unsolved. And so I would just ask the board maybe to consider other ways of, now that we're growing and we're getting bigger, and I hear about it a lot. I'm not like Vegas, total Vegas in the driver's ed car, but kids can vent to me a little bit more in a safer way. And, you know, we're out there for 14 hours driving around, and I hear about the stress and the pressure that they're on under. And if a kid's gonna snap, you know, do we have anything in place to help them in that time of need, or we just kind of think, well, it's not going to happen here, it's not going to happen here, we have good kids. And so I just, maybe it's time to start considering other support for the kids from that side. And that's all that I would ask you to, as a board, to maybe consider sometime down the road. So
as you all might imagine, parents have reached out to me since Friday. And I would say that there were four major categories of concerns that I heard from parents. And when I was in church on Sunday, the sermon was, I want everybody in this church to reach out to your school board to make sure your building is safe. Or make sure that your school is safe.
Chris Hanley.
Yeah. I said to him after mass, I was like, do you realize you told everybody in church to call me? And he said, good.
Anyway. He was great.
But the four major concerns that I've heard are physical security of the building, security measures for when people pick up or drop off children, like checking IDs, guidance counselor, and a school resource officer. Those are the four prongs that came up through the conversations of parents reaching out to me. And, you know, I guess how we spend our time and money reflects our priorities. We just don't, I mean, we don't have money to do everything 100%, but we have to decide what is most important and where we want to spend our money. And clearly, you know, safety is an issue. As I explained to one parent, if we have an armed resource officer, first of all, the resource officer in Florida was probably the first to go, wasn't he, in the shooting. If we have an armed resource, I mean, we are a small school. When we hire anyone, a greater percentage of the money for each student goes towards that person than in a larger school district or larger school where more students carry the cost. So it is a little more difficult for us, I think, but that said, you know, safe, healthy kids, that's why we're here, right? Safe, healthy, educated kids.
I think too, in any kind of discussion around any of that, staffing, just staffing in general, and seeing the big picture, I think in a typical school, we can use the word resource officer, because there are typical schools other, I'm not arguing one way or the other, where I'm really going with my statement is, what is a typical job description for a resource officer typically in public schools? Is a certain thing, okay? And in public schools at one time, and I'm not sure what schools are doing now, that it came through the Delaware State Police, okay? So that's what we think of as a resource officer. We think of a counselor as a person who is in the office and says counselor on their door and does counseling with all kinds of counseling. Where I'm really going with this is that I think that we have these perceived descriptions of what any of these people do. And I would offer up that there may be in this school ways to meet some of those ideas without hiring four different people.
Designating responsibilities.
So people here wear multiple hats.
That's what I'm saying. So
if they still have to be qualified, but yes.
Absolutely. So I just think that certainly the administration has to be kind of adept in talking with the faculty and in talking with the board on how you can meet those obligations or meet those needs, and it doesn't have to be in the typical way, because I think in this school we have a track record of doing certain things and doing them very well in an atypical way.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you all. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Next thing I wanted to mention was exams and something called Cyber Day. I have them together for a reason. I just want to mention that this year we have a full-fledged exam scheduled for high school kids. It will be on the calendar. Exams for IB kids are in May, and Debbie can speak to this more early mid-May. And then our other kids are going to have exams near the end of the year. So I'm putting that out on the, just to let you know. One of the ideas that is not our idea, but is to try something called a cyber day, okay? And we're planning on trying this cyber day on April the 10th. On April the 10th, we have giving PSATs and SATs to kids in grades 9, 10, and 11. And we want to give our high school kids something called a cyber day. And in that cyber day, they would log onto Schoology, and they would log into all four of their classes they have that day. Their teacher in all four of those classes would put these assignments on Schoology. The kids would be required to get those assignments in by 11:59 that evening, just like in a college classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what happens in college. And so the kids would be doing their work online, okay? And those seniors would be doing their work online, not necessarily sitting at a desk here, okay? The primary reason for doing that is we have kids doing things online anyway. Newark Charter uses this system in case they ever get backed up towards graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they don't have to move graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So Greg Meese was very, very kind to share with me what they do and how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
They
use it for snow days too. I love it. I love it. For these IB kids, for sure, that would be fantastic.
So anyway, what I'm saying to you is we're gonna do a draw, kind of a, we're gonna do a pilot on this on April the 10th. And I've prepared a letter that I've sent to Janet and Alan to that would go home with the kids so that parents would know about it. If we would need to do it later, we'll do it, but we're going to try it and see how it works, and hopefully it's going to work well. And
did you say, Trish, you were doing it with the seniors only?
Seniors only.
Okay.
Okay. Seniors only. Seniors only. So I just wanted to inform you of that.
So out of curiosity, and this, I'm sure Chris can say the same thing, but when we first started this a number of years ago at the university level, we're throughout the region, so it was the connectivity, the assumption that everybody has appropriate connectivity. So do we know that about our student population?
We think most of them do, okay, and I can't tell you what percentage, because all of our kids, of course, at the high school level have iPads, so they're connected somewhere. But for the student, if we're in a situation, again, we're talking seniors,
mm-hmm.
but if we're in a situation, there's in the letter it explains, if a child doesn't have it, he brings a note from his mom or dad, okay, and we give them appropriate time to make this up.
Okay.
Okay? So
great,
we run it, and we're going to take the note on its face value.
Mm-hmm.
The only way it wouldn't be is if somewhere, I think somebody's not telling the truth. And, you know.
Right.
But
yeah, that's great. That's.
But we're not going to, what I'm saying is we're not going to penalize those students.
Good.
Okay.
That's fantastic. They need to know.
Okay.
If we move on, I just want to circle back to something.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So, no, that's all right. I just thought of it while you were talking about Cyber Day. So when we were talking about security, we were talking about the safety of the building and the building security being assigned to the Buildings and Grounds Committee. But what about the other issues? The guidance counselor, the resource officer, and the security, do we need a committee to look at those as well?
I don't think, if you're asking me, the answer is I don't think you need a committee to look at those. I think that, first off, I know that administratively, and I know at the team leaders level, we're discussing, the only one that's never been discussed is school resource officer.
Okay.
As really as on the table anywhere. But we, before this ever happened, okay,
mm-hmm.
we've had discussions at team leaders meetings about meeting different kinds of needs. So the concept of counselor has been there. We have other areas of need. We have area of need in terms of our nurse, okay? So I think it all becomes part of a whole total staffing plan. That's what I think.
So that's a director responsibility?
I believe so.
I will say this though, a guidance counselor doesn't really deal with mental illness issues.
A guidance
counselor is not, that's why I use the term.
Right,
that's true.
That's what I was saying about some of these.
That's more like
some of these.
Right.
Job titles or
right.
some of the things we call people
right.
may not be exactly what we would want to do. We have a few ideas, but we haven't done anything other than had those few ideas. We've had some discussion, but we haven't arrived at any kind of conclusion. As a matter of fact, it's on the team leaders. Meetings for next Monday.
Can I ask you a question,
sure.
Lauren? In your practice,
right.
I feel like I'm aware of at least one person who has done like hours at schools.
Yes.
Not like under a contract, but like office hours, if you will, or...
Well, it is a contract with the school, because but the school does not pay for that person. The insurance company pays for that person as a session. And so, like, I could go see somebody, like a therapist, a psychologist, a social worker can go to a school site, and you're just billing that out of that site. But you obviously need approval from a school, and you need some kind of contract with the school for that to happen.
We do that. We have.
Well, I was just thinking. I was thinking more of how I'm trying. I'm thinking outside of the box. How we could get some school psychologist services, understanding that we don't have the funds to hire that person.
Sometimes they're shared too.
How we could get someone in this building who could do some drop-in hours, or I don't know.
Well,
We have
psychologists come in here now.
Who sees kids?
Who sees kids?
Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're not.
Kids who are in treatment, or kids who are just having a tough day and need to talk to someone.
Well, the teachers, you're not like in the. You're not going to know the red flag